Welcome into episode 84 of the Golly Amen podcast. We have an interesting and fun episode today, I think, that is not going to be the most serious, but just some things. I think there's some serious things in here, and there's some things that are more for fun. And it is things that we wish we knew. Now, look, I'm 30, you're 24, right?
Yeah. Back in our day,
young whippersnapper, that's right, yeah. So, yeah, things we wish we knew is kind of funny because it's like we're not 50 looking back, turning back the clock. Like, boy, I wish maybe if we're continuing this in 10 years, I'll look back at 40 and
just. But there are still things, I mean, that we could look at from 7, absolutely. 8 for Joe's case 10 years ago and say, ah, man, I really wish I'd known that.
40 years ago is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly. I mean, yeah, exactly. There are things that we can look back at 30, especially. It hit me. It didn't hit me hard like when I turned 30 because I think the 20s went pretty well and I was happy with a lot of the stuff. The longer I've been 30, which is back in April, the longer I've been 30 now, 4 or 5 months in, like...
It's hitting you now, huh?
Oh, man. You know, now I have to get serious about life. But that's kind of what brings this episode about. And yeah, you're at 24. You're not quite as far removed. But there are still things that you learn year by year. You read more. You learn more. You experience more. And that's what this is all about. So we know we're not super far removed from you guys. And we got listeners that are older than us. But here are some things that... we wish we knew. There's 5 things that we each.
One of
put
my favorite
down.
Type of episode. We got a list episode.
Top
here.
5 here. Love yeah, it. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably about 35,000 things I could put down on this list of things that I wish. But these are some fun ones. Some things that as we're looking at it, like okay, general overarching some themes in here. But I'm gonna get us started on number 1.
Go for it. And we don't have these ranked or anything. It's just 1 through 5. We thought about ranking them, but couldn't really come up with a good ranking system.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, actually, I kind of intro this entire thing. I've done a lot of talking. So how about you get into your
Sure, first? I'll go first. All right, so my number one, first thing I thought of, things I wish I knew is that your schooling window is small. So apply yourself and challenge yourself. I think a lot of young people have this regret when they hit mid-20s or maybe in their 30s is they realize that a lot of their time in school – be it high school or college, was a little wasted. They kind of did not see it for what it was. And I would put myself in that category as well. I think I did apply myself in school. You know, I was not one of these lazy people in school, but I still think I could have gotten more juice out of the squeeze, as they say. Like, I could have applied myself a little bit more than I did. I could have challenged myself. I got to push for more things than I did high school and college. And so I think I truly didn't realize, like, man, my time in school is about over. And so I really need to make the most of it. I was too busy focused on the next stage in life, what I was going to do. And, you know, I think you need to have some forward thinking, some vision for the future. But I do think, or at least for me personally, I wish I would have kind of appreciated my schooling years. Again, really high school and beyond that for what it was. And maybe applied myself a little bit more than I did. Again, I wouldn't say I was lazy, but I think I should have applied myself a little bit more.
I like this one. The one thing that I would do with schooling is slow down and enjoy the journey a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy, but like I was so busy trying to get straight A's and everything that's like I got good grades and didn't remember hardly.
Well, you're kind of always looking ahead with school.
Correct.
Like, oh, what's next?
Yeah. Exactly. And I always got impressed. I always get the grades. Instead of just realizing this is, like you said, it's the window is small. Enjoy it. Sit down, especially when you get into college. Like, well, I just got to get the degree. I wish I had taken more time to really just appreciate what I was learning and like really let it sink in.
Yeah.
And so that's all I would add to this. I think this is a great one of schooling when it was small. The only other thing I would add is do not cut your academic career short for, you know, like, well, I was going to go to college, but I met this girl and she's great. Like, look. You know, you met a girl while you were in college. I met a girl while I was in college. But our goals didn't like completely whoosh, type of thing
shatter,
shift. Shatter. And I see this from others where, you know, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then they get in some relationship and decide that they're going to go take a preaching job somewhere or whatever else. And like everything shifted on a dime. And they went from having all these big dreams. And look, probably being a preacher is better than being a lawyer. Let's be honest. But at the same time, they went from having these big dreams, I'm going to go do this, and they just kind of settled because they didn't realize, like, your schooling window is small. Just apply yourself, challenge yourself, and don't jump ahead on that. But sorry to add to yours.
No, you're good.
No,
I
think that's great. My number one, we've talked about it a ton. This is a short one, but how important a solid gym routine is. I wish that you got started early, and I'm envious, I'm jealous, and kicking myself that I didn't. I thought sports were good enough.
I was going to say, it's interesting. It's not like you were not athletic and fit when you were young. You just were not hitting the gym necessarily.
Right. I was in good shape because I played hockey all the time. And, like back surgeries and COVID and other things like that kind of put an end to it. But if I had had a solid gym routine that I was getting used or that I was used to, that would have continued. Hockey has not. I live an hour away from you know, the nearest roller rink at this point, and so I don't get to do that as much.
And there is something different about lifting weights than just cardio or fun sports.
That's exactly it. So it pushes you a little bit more. Now that I'm lifting weights, last year or two, I've really gotten into it. I wish I had started this back when I was, you know, 14, 15, 16. My dad had a great weight set. He had a whole Bowflex machine or whatever it is in the basement. Like, I could have done so much and barely ever used it because I was too busy thinking that, well, I'll always have sports. No, you won't. Get into the gym, establish a solid routine at a young age.
Yeah, that's really good. I don't have a lot to add there. So my number two, and we'll keep moving here, things I wish I knew is caring about what your teenage acquaintances think of you is a waste of time. I'm really big on this now. I've said this in a lot of episodes, like, man, quit caring so much what people think. Yeah. And man, that is just so natural for teenagers to like constantly be looking over their shoulder. Like, man, what are they thinking of me right now? If I say this, if I do this, and there's a lot of pressure in your teenage years, again, to kind of perform well for your friends and look really good. And again, you're constantly focused on what your teenage friends think of you. And again, just, are you funny? Are you wearing the right stuff or whatever? And man, that can be just such a waste of time. And you think about it from a public school perspective. I didn't even go to public school. And I still had a little bit of this with like my youth group and the people that I hung out with. Like, I was still a little bit too worried about, man, what were they thinking of me? And as I look back now, again, I'm 24, married with kids, great job, great position in life. That was such a waste of time. Like to worry about that and to care. Like, even if they think you're the best thing ever, you're just the coolest guy, most amazing person in the world. Okay, then what? Like, who cares? Once you're eventually going to get married again, have kids, and kind of maybe if you have really close friends, you'll stay connected to them. But it's like, that's why I kind of put acquaintances on here. Like, the people in your youth group that maybe you don't hang out with all that much, people in your high school group, like, man, care what the important people think. Care what your best friend thinks. Care what your family, your siblings think. But other than that, caring about what your average, again, acquaintance in your youth group or your average acquaintance at school, you know, thinks of you is just the biggest waste of time in the world. Because it doesn't matter once you kind of graduate, get married, and move on into bigger and better things. You'll look back and go, man, what was I spending all that time caring about it for? It just didn't matter.
That's a great point. I don't have much to add to that. Number two for me, your kids will mimic everything you do.
It's very true.
Everything you do. So your bad habits, any of the words that you use, specific words, you know, I'll say a word that isn't a cuss word, but, you know, I don't cuss, but at the
things
same
like
time,
crap. Yeah.
Crap or something like that, you know, and then here comes my little two-year-old crap, like, okay, you
can't
know,
say that.
Guess
yeah.
what? Guess what? You know, I got to be real careful about what I say and what I do, and they want to be exactly like you. And so, you know, I got my son into golf and loves playing golf, and now golf is his life, almost to the point where it's like
unhealthy.
Unhealthy. Pump the brakes, man. Like, it's okay. Not everything is about golf. And we've had to have that conversation. Not everything in life is golf. Well, guess where he learned it from? You know, here I am, like, teaching him and thinking that it's great, and then he looks to mimic and he really wants to be like dad, and next thing you know, it's kind of taken over his life. It's just something that I wish I had known, or I wish I had appreciated, I guess, a little bit more when I was younger, which is, man, have your stuff together. Like, have your, anyway, together. Kids will mimic it. Kids will do everything that they see dad do because dad's the best, right? And that's cool.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. It's so really scary and a huge responsibility.
Something interesting I've seen with Jackson is, yes, they will mimic a lot of what you do, but also just you have that mixed with like the genetic tendencies that they follow as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I see that in Jackson a ton. Yep. My two, almost three-year-old of just, yeah, some of my tendencies. I can't, you know, the kind of the strong-willedness, the gets really frustrated if things don't go exactly his way. It's like, I can't blame Rachel for that. That's 100% genetically me. But so it is an interesting combination of somewhat born with your genetics, but also maybe they see you, you know, doing some of those things. Again, positive or negative. It don't always have to be bad things.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
I did not have any appreciation for that. Even the genetic one especially as well. Like, yeah, you see him, the way he chooses food type of thing, and you're like, that's the way I use it. You know, just weird.
Yeah,
weird stuff
that
there's no way it should come through. But yeah, anyway.
All right, so my number two, we got to keep moving here, is, or my number three. I'm on number three. Things I wish I knew. I wish I had started a Bible study and prayer routine sooner. I think part of the problem with this is I did Bible study, or yeah, I guess Bible study for school. And so it was kind of expected. Did Bible study for preaching. It's basically as soon as I was done with school, because that was part of my income. And so, you know, that was expected. And that was, you know, I was in the Bible a lot. But man, what I really did not get is, first of all, the prayer routine. I was never really established that as well as I should have. But even just the outside of responsibility Bible study habit. And so now that I don't really have as much of a responsibility having to do with the Bible, like, because I was a youth minister there for a while, so it was part of my job, again, when I was preaching before that, and then for school, it's always kind of been a part of my responsibilities. Well, now I'm at a stage in my life where I have a secular job. I do preach once a month and teach class every now and then, but it's not near as regular. So guess what slipped? My Bible study routine. And so I wish I had developed a bit more of an outside of my own responsibility Bible study and prayer routine. Part of that's just been basically every job I've ever had, other than the, I guess, minister job, is I've had to get up really, really early for a lot of it. And so it's like, oh yeah, start your day with the Bible. Yeah, that's great, except if you're having to wake up at 4:30. It's really hard to wake up at 3:30 to have a Bible. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that, not to make excuses, but I think that's part of the reason why it's been difficult for me. But I still wish that I had just developed the routine, the habit of just, this is just how I'm going to do it. I'm going to find time. And so it's a bit more of a struggle for me now, but that'd be one thing I would say, yeah.
I think that's a fantastic one. Well, your point about the responsibility hits hard because that's where I find myself. I think that's such a good point that you're making about, you know, starting Bible study, prayer routine sooner, everything else like that. And I think at one point I had a really good personal Bible study and prayer. And now I think about how much with the preaching, with the teaching, with the Focus Plus, with, you know, for the podcast we do.
It's a part of your work schedule almost. Yes. Instead of, yeah.
And even if it's not, it's helping the kids or talking about my wife about it. Like, you may find as you get older, whether you're waking up at 4:30 or, you know, you just, even if you do this for a living, it still is difficult to have this. So having this routine where, man, I've got this locked down, my Bible study, my prayer, and that's always going to be mine. And it's for things. You have a personal Bible study. They always told us in preaching school, make sure you got a personal Bible study and a Bible study for your sermon, but don't mix those two. And
that's so tough.
That's the dumbest thing in the world, man. I'm passionate about what I'm studying personally. I'm going to preach it. Now I'm starting to understand a little bit more of how much those things can get imbalanced of, like, now it's all for the preaching instead of for personal. So just make sure, I think Will's making a great point of, like, just make sure you're getting into a routine at a young age, if at all possible, because that is something that I wish I'd taken more seriously as well. My number three is, I wish I had known the value of a good night's rest.
Real quick, I got to preface this. So when I think I mentioned last episode that, maybe two episodes ago, that Joe and I go a long way back. I met him when I was 5. He was, what would that make you, 11 or 12 at the time?
Yeah.
Been on vacation together every year for 12, 13 years now. And of course, now that he moved to Tennessee, we're, you know, even closer than we were before. But when I met Joe, if they were in bed before 1 a.m., it was a weird night. Like, I remember we would go to stay at their house. They lived in Denver, Colorado. And I remember, of course, I was young, 10, 11, 12, 13, and it was so much fun because we got to stay up super late. Again, 1, 2 a.m. was not uncommon in the Wilkie household. So that was just, sorry, my little preface to your point. You've come a long way from that.
Oh, man, I am a night owl. I still am a night owl. The problem is we have kids, and I have a gym routine.
And the mornings come early.
And the mornings come early, and so 5 a.m. rolls around, and it's like I am constantly fighting my night owl and morning routine. It's tough. There's a lot of nights. Like, if I get over 6 hours of sleep every night or on a night, it's a good night these days because it's so often 5.5, 5, 4.5. That's not good. When you get a good night's rest, like, man.
Well, more and more studies are coming out. Like, what's the most important thing for your health and your long-term health and your metabolism, all this?
Exactly.
7.5, 8 hours of sleep.
Recovery from the gym, testosterone, all of those things, like, you need more sleep. Well, great. I'm toast because it doesn't happen. So I'm still fighting this one, but I wish I had known at a younger age. I wish I had kind of almost forced myself to be more of a morning, what do they call them? Morning bird?
It's not night, early bird. It's
night, early, thank you. Dumb. Night owl, early bird, right? I think of the Michael Scott quote. Early bird gets...
What does he say? Anyway,
what does he say? I'm a night owl and an early bird, so I'm wise and I have worms, I think is what he said. early bird, yeah. But anyway... So, yeah, I mean, when I think about the value of a good night's rest, if I had known this at a younger age, if I had taken it more seriously, and look, I realize when you're young, that's one of the privileges of being young, is getting to stay up and have fun with your friends and everything else. I'm saying on a day-by-day basis, going to bed at 1, 2, 3 a.m. wrecks your life for a long time, and I am a testament to that. Get in bed. Recognize that getting 7-8 hours of sleep is optimal and fantastic. The other thing is sleep before midnight is some of the best REM or REM sleep that you're going to get. Like 10 to 12 is some of the deepest sleep you're going to get, actually. Studies are coming out. And so when you're in bed at 1 a.m., it's like, well, I sleep until 10. Not the same. Those 9 hours.
Which, when I was growing up, my mom and grandmother would tell me that, and I would be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly.
It is true, though.
It is true. It's very true. It is very true. So, man, get a good night's rest if at all possible. Get into the habit of getting good sleep.
It's tough for me, too, because, man, like, it's almost like the nighttime is the main act of the day. Like, you can get to have fun, do what you want to do.
Well, the kids are in bed now.
Now with kids, but, like, and it's so hard to go to bed early. It's getting less and less difficult for me. It's like, oh, cool, I get to go to bed.
Well, if you're up at 4:30, exactly, then,
I get to go to bed or whatever. But so my number four ties into this one, which things I wish I knew. Put the screen down at night and just read more.
That's so good.
Obviously, so if you're single, this applies. Put the screen down. I used to have such a problem with, I would just catch up on Twitter for the day, or I would turn on the football game, or I would turn on the basketball game, and just, I'm looking at a screen for the last hour of my day, or, you know, less or more, somewhere around there. Man, that's not good. There are so many more productive things you could be doing. It's easy because it's mindless, and, you know, and I'm not saying you can't ever do that, but, man, that was my habit, was get on Twitter, catch up on the news from the day, watch whatever. Man, put the screen down. Read books. Do more productive things. Talk with your family. Obviously, if you're married, talk with your spouse. Put the screen down and talk with your spouse. Like, I still need to get better at this, of just making kind of the last part of my day be screen free. But Joe and I both read the 5 a.m. Club. That's a big part of the author's kind of push is, man, you put your screens down at like 7 o'clock and don't look at them the rest of the night and do productive things. You know, not always the case. I enjoy watching it's almost football season. I will have football games on at night sometimes. But, man, if I could go back and kind of change some of my nighttime routine to where I just pick up a book more, or, again, now that I've married with kids, talk to my wife more, kind of debrief the day. I feel like those are much, you know, Joe's big into journaling. I'm sure that would be good at night as well. Just more screen, less time, or less screen time, I guess is the better way to say that, at night, as opposed to, again, just kind of being glued to a screen for the last hour of the day.
I like what you said at the end of just read. That's a big one. Read.
Because I've always enjoyed reading, but as I've found, you know, as I got older, more responsibility, I didn't have time during the day to read like I did when I was younger. And it's like, oh, I'll read it at night. And I haven't as much as
See,
I
should. See, that's a big one for me, is I'm not as big of a reader, voracious reader as Will is. I've gotten more so. The screens wasn't necessarily, this sounds weird, but I take a book in the bathroom and my wife may make fun of me for it, but that's kind of my time to just, you know, sit in peace. I don't, kids may be banging on the door, but a lot of times it's like, that's my time at night to just be able to read. Putting the screens down is huge. It's so easy, especially even, it may not even be frivolous, you know, going to Twitter or whatever it is, Facebook, like, I guess that's for us old fogies, whatever. Kids don't even have laptops. I don't know what they're doing on screens. I suppose
they're on TikTok
or whatnot,
yeah,
you know, late night, but it may even be work. I'm really bad at that. Like, I'll be laying in bed. I'm laying in bed last night at 11:30 working on outlines and working on work, and it's like, man, just put the screens down. Read a good book. It's the best thing. Blue light. There's a bazillion studies on it. Like, it's such a good point you put on here. My number four, a good prayer life starts with time management. And once again, as with the last one, not being good with good night's rest, I'm not great on time management. And I find that my prayer life suffers because of it. When you're young, same as reading. I got all the time in the world, man. I'll read during the day. I'll pray during the day. I can get up. And if I say my prayer at 8:30 in the morning, you know, be ready kind of by 9, kicking around type of thing. I got school. I'll make sure to get there type of thing. No. As you get older, poof, gone. Now everything is structured. I got this, at this, at this, at this, at this, at this. So if I don't have good time management skills, I don't have time to pray. That sounds crazy. And I'll pray throughout the day, no doubt. Like, I'll, but I'm talking getting on my knees, intentional prayer for more than like 2 minutes at a time. Concentrated prayer time, having a list in front of me. I'll pray to God throughout the day in small prayers, and it kind of gets me through. But that's not as intentional as, man, I'm on my knees with my list, praying for these people, praying for this specific stuff. Time management is the key to that. Make sure you're setting aside time. I try to in the mornings. When you're up at 5, you'd think that's like, oh, that's a great time. You're half asleep. you're just getting your coffee, trying to get out the door to the gym. That's not necessarily the time. You come back, kids are up. It's tough.
Yeah.
You have to work it into your schedule.
That's really good. Of course, I already had a line on that, so I don't have much to say there. My number five is my last one. Things I wish I knew is the importance of learning how to fix and build things. I didn't get taught a lot of that. My dad is amazing. I love my dad a ton. He taught me the most important things on earth, I think, of course. Taught me some really good stuff about how to, you know, how to speak publicly, Christian apologetics. Like, my dad taught me a lot of things that I'm eternally grateful for him for teaching me. He didn't teach me a lot on how to build things, how to fix things. You know, and that's something I wish that I had focused on more when I was in my teenage years, even if I just YouTube stuff, you know. And that's just, that is not a talent or a gift that I have now. And I think it's one that it's one that I wish I did have. And you know, I've dabbled in a little bit. Me and my wife together fixed our garbage disposal like a year ago. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, we YouTubed it and fixed it ourselves. Like, let's go.
Love it. Yep.
And people, there are guys that do that all the time around the house. And I'm envious of that, because that's just not really something that I do a lot of. But yeah, you know, I guess that's all I have to say on that. I wish I, when I was younger, had known the importance when you're a homeowner, again, when you have a family, of like, you need to know how to, you know, I know the basic stuff, like changing a tire and all that. Like, I know how to do that stuff. But, you know, how to build things, how to fix things, generally speaking, I think is important for men to know how to do. And so that would be my number five.
That's really good as well. My dad did know how to build everything. The problem is, and he did teach us on some of them, but if you don't use it, you lose it. I went into counseling and went into preaching school and went into counseling and such. And
well,
so
your dad was a blue collar worker.
And exactly. Worker, owned his own business and, you know, went to carpentry school when he was younger. And I mean, he knows how to do pretty much everything with building and construction and everything else. That's something that as they move down here and they're building their house and he's starting to get the tools and such. I will be over at his house a lot learning and trying to rectify this, because there is such an importance. So if you have an opportunity to learn it when you're young and keep using it as much as possible, do that. I love that. My number five, buying frivolous stuff does not bring happiness.
That's funny that Joe put this one on.
Yeah, I used to be, and people would still say I'm very materialistic, and I don't agree with that. I think we talked about it. I like buying some nice things.
Let me give my take on that real fast, not to cut you off.
Sure.
There's a difference in enjoying nice things and being materialistic.
Correct.
And I think you balance that incredibly well, whereas other people might... problem is people look at like people who have nice stuff and spend a lot of money and go, oh, well, they're just obviously materialistic. No, they're not. That's not how that works. Just because somebody spends money on things or likes nice food or whatever, that does not make them materialistic. That is a false equivalency there that I think, again, maybe this is what you're about to speak about. Materialism is bad. Spending money and enjoying life on, you know, enjoying things if you can afford it is not bad in and of itself.
Yeah, being very choosy on what it is. So there's a few things that my wife and I spent good money on that we genuinely enjoy and you know, enjoy driving my car and I enjoy making some good coffee and things like that. And yeah, you spend a little bit of money, but you'll enjoy it. But when I was younger, I think it wasn't even that much money. Sometimes it was just a pack of cards. It's the pack of cards, hockey cards. It's really, you know, that's going to bring happiness. And then you'd open it up and it's a bunch of like garbage cards. There's no jersey pieces, nothing like that you look for as a kid. Oh man, there's a letdown. Like if I didn't get the newest, you know, Pokemon game or whatever it is, like I was thinking about happiness through the lens of things and stuff.
Which that is materialistic.
And that is materialistic. And so it wasn't always just about getting and buying. It's that I had placed a premium on, I will be happy when I get that. Or if I don't have that, then I won't be happy or whatever it is. So again, happiness is just run through this filter of like through things, through materialism and all of this stuff. I wish I had known that earlier, that, you know, those things don't buy happiness. They don't bring they can bring occasional happiness. Getting that Pokemon game and playing it for the first little bit. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm not saying like I'm not a minimalist of get rid of everything. I just wish I was more choosy on like, didn't need this. I specifically remember going to Disney World long time ago.
Pre-boycott.
Way pre-boycott, like 2008. And I remember begging my mom and dad. It was this thing that if you waved it around fast enough, it had the little laser light and it would like spell out messages. I thought it was the coolest thing I had ever seen in my life. I think by the time we got home from Florida, like 4 days later, I had lost it and never thought of it again. Until now, probably, until this moment. But I was thinking, for whatever reason, when I put this on the outline, that's the thing that came to mind. And in the moment, I thought, that will bring
happiness. I have to have that.
Yeah. I have to have it. That's the coolest thing ever. And I'm going to be upset, being in Disney World, of all places. I'm going to be upset if I don't get this. And mom and dad are very nice, and everybody else is getting something. Is that what you want? Yeah, that's absolutely what I want. Okay, you can get this one thing, you know. And I get it, and I don't think about it again. It just hit me like, man, I wish that I was more grateful as a kid. And yeah, that stuff is empty a lot of the time. So I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but yeah. Buying frivolous stuff does not bring happiness.
Yeah. So I've enjoyed this episode. Again, yeah. I love the top five lists and things that we've done before. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll just recap very quickly mine, and then Joe, if you want to recap yours, and then we will wrap this episode 84 of the Golly, I'm In podcast. So your schooling window is small. Apply yourself and challenge yourself. Number two, caring about what your teenage acquaintances think of you is a waste of time. Number three, I wish I'd have started a Bible study and prayer routine sooner. Number four, put the screens down at night and just read. And then number five, the importance of learning how to fix build things are the five, I guess, top five things that I wish I had known.
Number one for me, I wish I had known how important a solid gym routine is. Number two, kids will mimic everything you do. Number three, the value of a good night's rest. Number four, a good prayer life starts with time management. And number five, buying frivolous stuff does not bring happiness.
If you are an older listener, or even if you're not, and you know, man, I wish I would have known this 3 years earlier, comment. We'd love to hear whether some other things that men and even young men are, you know, finding out now that they wish they had known earlier. I think it's interesting stuff to talk about. So, yeah, leave a comment. Let us know kind of what your thoughts are. Maybe if you've got a thought on something that we had on our list. But, Joe, unless you got anything else, I'll wrap our episode. This has been episode 84 of the Godly Young Men podcast, and we are excited that you joined us, and we'll be back next week.